And we're live. Episode 3, the two-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels. I am Daniels. He is Bryce. It's sponsored by footballg.com. It's a study of all things football. Great website.
Absolutely fantastic website. Marcus Mosier is the owner and one of the staff writers there at the website. I've been in talks with him. I think we're going to have him on the show either next week or the week after.
Absolutely.
So he's going to come on the show, and he spent some time in the Minnesota Vikings scouting department, so he knows a little bit what he's talking about, so it'll be fun to talk to him.
I would imagine so. Definitely check out those guys, footballogy.com. It's BOLOGY.com. We're live on Facebook Live as
well. Yes, we are live on Facebook Live.
Hello.
You can go on to Facebook. You can find me, Bryce Markham, on Facebook. You can find me where Facebook Live. I'm also at Bryce Markham on Twitter if you want to find me on there.
Yeah, we talked about the Twitter. Speaking of Facebook Live, we need to start a Facebook page for the show.
Coming down the way, yeah.
Absolutely. One game tonight, and it is the Thursday night game, Houston and New England. We'll touch on that a little bit. Jacoby Brissett, is he? He's got the reins.
I guess so. I don't know about Jacoby Brissett yet. But you know what New England does? They just put somebody in,
That's
and he
true.
Plays just as good as the guy that just got injured.
They've got the New England Patriot quarterback microchip implanted
in their brain. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's get to some injuries. Relevant NFL injuries for Week 3. Houston tonight. They've got Brian Cushing out with a knee. He's a linebacker for Houston. And then Braxton Miller out of Ohio State. He's out with a hamstring as well. New England, of course, Tom Brady suspension. Jimmy Garoppolo. Shoulder, and it is on Jacoby Brissett.
It's all Jacoby Brissett's shoulders, man.
Rob Gronkowski questionable. I'm now hearing that he's going to play.
Yeah, the ESPN was confirming that about an hour ago that Gronk's going to play. How do you feel about him fantasy-wise tonight?
I don't like him.
Yeah.
I can't trust him. He's a monster. He needs somebody to throw him the football. I have a sneaking suspicion Julian Edelman has at least one pass tonight. We'll see. Or he lines up in the quarterback position. I don't think Jacoby Brissett's the answer. But who knows? He's going to throw four touchdowns.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens out there. What do you think about the idea that Martellus Bennett scores more fantasy points than Gronk tonight? Something I've been considering.
It could be up in the air. Had a really good performance last week.
Sure did.
Back to the injuries. Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald, he's got a knee. He's probable on the weekend. Buffalo, Charles Clay, tight end, he's got a knee. He's questionable.
Always like that guy.
Sammy Watkins looking more and more like he's not going to play this weekend.
He's got
a foot. Minnesota, Adrian Peterson, what a massive loss for the Vikings.
That whole situation's a mess,
It's a mess. He's going to be out for 2 to 3 months. Kyle Rudolph's got a groin. He's probable. Limited participation in practice. Carolina, Jonathan Stewart's got a hamstring. He is a doubt, which means Fozzie Whitaker, he's going to be back behind.
Yeah, if you can pick up Fozzie Whitaker, it might be a good idea in your fantasy league for the short term.
Yeah, very short term. I've heard a lot of talk that he might be a bust this week as well. He might just be a fantasy trap, something to keep an eye on the weekend. DeMarcus Ware did not participate in practice. Linebacker, Cincinnati, they've got tight end problems. Tyler Eifert and both C.J. Uzoma, doubtful, ankle and ribs respectively. Eifert's got the ankle, C.J. Uzoma with the ribs. Neither participating in practice. Actually, Eifert's got a little bit of limited participation.
Limited participation.
I've heard that he's questionable, but I just don't think he comes back this week.
Okay.
Eric Ebron, tight end for the Detroit Lions. He's got a back. He didn't participate in practice. And Amir Abdullah's back on injured reserve.
Man, that
big
guy.
Loss.
That guy's talented, but I don't know that he's ever going to amount to anything with as much injury concerns as he deals with.
It's looking like it. Green Bay, no relevant injuries there. Baltimore, backup running back Kenneth Dixon's got a knee. He's doubtful. Jacksonville, Allen Robinson. A couple of real interesting ones for Jacksonville. Allen Robinson, of course, wide receiver, number one guy there. He's got an illness. He's probable. Chris Ivory. I'm very curious to see what is the actual injury. He's got a general medical issue. What could that be, Bryce?
I don't know.
What could that be?
Dude, I don't... A general medical issue.
General medical issue, Chris Ivory.
I'm going to guess that it's either something highly personal.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
It's a substance situation.
Also, yes. Psychological substance.
Yes.
There's something
off
with Chris Ivory. Yeah, He's questionable. He might be making his debut.
Did you say that Robinson didn't practice today with an illness?
Well, he's got an illness. He participated limited participation today. He didn't
That's just
yesterday.
Weird that there's just illnesses happening in Jacksonville.
Right.
It's kind of remember when the Browns had all those people getting staph infections?
Oh, it has like four or five of them.
Yeah.
Cleveland, Josh McCown, out, shoulder. He's did not participate. He's week to week. That means
Cody Kessler,
5,000 on DraftKings. Get him in, folks. Don't really do
don't,
that.
Don't.
I mean, do it because I might be playing you, but don't
don't
do that.
Don't do it.
Corey Coleman broke his hand. That's a big loss.
We talked about him on Monday, man. We were both real happy for him. Big game. I guess he's going to sit out some time now.
Arian Foster from Miami's got a groin. He did not participate. He's a doubt. Center James Pouncey, he's a doubt as well. And that kind of changes things as far as how I like Tannehill, and I really like Tannehill. We'll get to that later on. Devontae Parker's got a hamstring. He is probable. On to Washington. DeSean Jackson's got a knee. He's questionable. Matt Jones, he's back to full participation. And Josh Dotson may or may not make his debut. He made his debut last week.
He may or may not be playing.
He's got an Achilles. He's a doubt, but we'll see.
Man, yeah. As a Cowboy fan, I'm torn on Dotson because he's my favorite receiver coming out of the draft. I really, really like him.
Fast.
I've always liked TCU.
Great hands.
He can jump, all that. But he's Washington now, so I'm like, if he wants to get injured, you know.
Rashad Jennings for the Giants, the running back. He's got a wrist. He's questionable. Nothing for Oakland, Tennessee. Delanie Walker, probably going to play. He's got a sore hamstring, though. Kendall Wright, he's a doubt with that hamstring. Nothing for San Francisco, Seattle, everybody. Thomas Rawls, he's questionable with a shin. Doug Baldwin's probable with a knee. Jimmy Graham's probable with a knee, and so is Tyler Lockett. A lot of knee injuries in Seattle, and
sure
Russell
is.
Wilson probably with just general exhaustion and frustration. Seattle's got a lot of injury concerns, but I don't think
Russell Wilson's sitting out practice because he just doesn't feel like practicing with all these scrubs.
The L.A. Rams, speaking of problems, of scrubs. Yeah, Pharaoh Cooper's got a shoulder. He's questionable. Benny Cunningham in the backfield's got a knee, and Nelson Spruce has a knee as well. Big fan of Nelson Spruce coming out of Colorado.
Yeah, the game he had against Dallas looked real good. And then injury and all that. Yep. So we'll see what he can do.
Dougie Martin's got a hamstring for Tampa Bay. He's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks. Cecil Shorts trying to make his debut. He's got a hamstring, and he has not been participated. He is doubtful.
That's a guy that I thought was going to be big when he came into the league, and it just never materialized for him.
D'Angelo Williams, for Pittsburgh, and his last week as a starter, unless Le'Veon Bell re-injures something. He did not participate, but that's maintenance. Marcus Wheaton back to full participation. Zach Ertz is questionable. I think he's doubtful with ribs. He didn't participate. San Diego, oh, man. If they lose Phillip Rivers like I predicted the other day,
could you imagine?
Keenan Allen out, injured reserve. Danny Woodhead, torn ACL, out, injured reserve. Antonio Gates, he's questionable with a hamstring. San Diego, they're still winning.
I was going to say one thing I really like about Phillip Rivers, and I've always liked about him, and he's a little bit like Tony Romo in this way, that he elevates the offensive players around him, and sometimes they don't have nearly as much talent as you would really want to see an NFL team, and they still score a lot of points. So my prediction, San Diego still scores a lot this weekend.
That's the biggest total on the board as far as in the Millionaire Maker as far as DraftKings is concerned. The biggest total on the board is Atlanta and New Orleans. That's off the DraftKings Millionaire Maker slate because it's on a Monday night. We'll talk about both these games coming up. Indianapolis in that same game. Frank Gore, he didn't participate. That's general. Andrew Luck, he's just frustration. No, he's got a shoulder. He's probable, but he didn't participate. Dante Moncrief, fractured scapula. That's a collarbone. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks.
More collarbones,
and all the Philip Dorsett for me this week. Maybe not all, but more than a little bit.
Well, he's going to get a lot of targets.
He's going to get a lot of usage, I think. Mm-hmm. Antonio Cromartie and Vontae Davis, cornerbacks, limited participation. It makes me like Travis Benjamin even more.
Yeah, yes.
And New York Jets, Eric Decker's got a shoulder. He's probable. Brandon Marshall's got a knee as questionable. And Quincy Anua, full participation. I think Anua's going to have a lot of targets this weekend, especially if Brandon Marshall doesn't play.
Yes. He's getting a lot of targets anyway. So you take Brandon Marshall out of the equation, and, it's going to get a lot of usage.
Yeah, just throw up that even more usage than he has been having. Matt Forte, Matt Forte on 30 carries last week. He's got a knee. He's probable. Fully expect him to play. In Kansas City, will we see the debut this year of Jamal Charles? Jamal, as I like to call him. He's got a knee. He's questionable. From what I'm hearing, they're expecting him to play.
Well, it'd be nice to see him back in league. I've always liked his brand, just kind of, he's fast and he's shifty and he gets branded that way, but then he'll run somebody over and you're Jamal Charles just ran somebody over at 5'10", 190.
If he could just stay healthy, but we'll definitely, something to keep an eye on. A couple of more games or a couple of games to close out the slate. Chicago and Dallas. Jay Cutler's got a thumb. He's doubtful. They haven't officially ruled him out yet, but that's coming very soon. Brian Hoyer's going to start. And Alshon Jeffrey's got a knee. He's questionable. And the more I hear about that, the more I hear that's not maintenance. So definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the Jeffrey injury is a little strange, and I think there's some serious questions there. Bears also have just a slew of defensive players not going to be playing in this game.
As for these are all relevant injuries as far as fantasy purposes
go.
Yes. Excluding most defensive players. Dallas, Atlanta, New Orleans, just one of those. Tony Romo, he's got a back. He's out 6 to 10 weeks, or as I say, he's out for his career. That's neither here nor there, though. Nothing as far as Atlanta and New Orleans goes, but that might be because it's only Thursday night and they haven't released that injury information just yet. So taking a quick look at week 3 on the slate, we've got Arizona opening up as a 3.5 favorite at Buffalo, that total is at 47. That seems a little high for me. Baltimore minus one at Jacksonville.
Arizona scored 40 by themselves last week.
That's very true. Buffalo 0-2. They gave up
38 last week.
It's an interesting line though, 3.5. You would think Arizona would be more of a favorite there, and I'm kind of hesitant to play him, but I like Arizona in that game. I like Carson Palmer in general. Baltimore minus one at Jacksonville. That's a 47.5 total. Cleveland at Miami. Biggest spread on the board, and understandably so.
Yes.
Miami minus 10. It's a 42.5 total. Cleveland's rookie quarterback, rookie wide receiver. Just Isaiah Crowell.
Bad defense. Just there.
You got to think Miami's going to score at will, or as much as early often and a whole lot of the often.
Mm-hmm.
Denver at Cincinnati. This could be a game of the week. Minus three for Cincinnati. They open up as a 3-point favorite at home. That line was off the board. It's moved to 41. Detroit at Green Bay. Green Bay's a 7.5 favorite, down from 8. That's a 47-point total. Minnesota at Carolina. Carolina's a 7-point favorite at home with a 43 total. Oakland at Tennessee. Tennessee's a 2-point favorite with a 47-point total. Washington at the Giants. G-men favored by almost 5, 4.5. With a 46.5 total. You're seeing a lot of mid-range 40s this week.
Yeah, they're kind of sticking in that. I think it's because of the offensive, like how anemia last week. It just seems like, with the exception of a few teams, there just wasn't a lot of offensive cohesion and not a lot of points scored last week.
I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of points scored in either of these games. L.A. Rams at Tampa Bay, minus 5 for the Bucks. That is a 42-point total. San Francisco at Seattle. Seattle just bumped up to a 10-point favorite. And
they didn't even score 10 points last week.
They didn't even score
against the Rams.
Yeah, exactly. And San Francisco was not as bad as advertised. They're not good, though. 40 points is the total on that. New York Jets at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs open up as a 3-point favorite at home with a 42-point total. And Pittsburgh is a 3.5 favorite on the road at Philadelphia. That total is 46. Biggest total on the slate, San Diego at Indianapolis, or second biggest. 51 is the over-under there. Indy is a favorite. I can't explain that. I really
over
can't.
Who?
San Diego. Indy is a 2.5-point favorite at home against San Diego, maybe because they
must
win?
Like I don't know. That smells like a trap to me. I've noticed that Vegas is really, really good at setting lines. They're really good at it. They're better at this than you are. It's basically
their whole motto. Yeah.
That's their slogan. And
we're
so
good at this.
Sometimes they throw something out there like that, and you're like, oh, I'm taking San Diego all day. Indy's garbage, and then Indy wins, and you lose your money.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
See what happens there.
Well, in that case, you're going to love this line. Dallas is a 7.5 favorite at home against Brian Hoyer's Chicago Bears.
I have some theories about Garrett and the Cowboys that I was going to get into on our Monday show. But 75% of all the games that Jason Garrett's ever coached have been within 7 points, the final score.
You can't comfortably take the Cowboys in that, but I do expect them to win. And finally, Atlanta at New Orleans could be a shootout. I expect it to be. Of course, I thought it was going to be a shootout between the Saints and the Giants last week. New Orleans is a 3-point favorite at home with a total of 53.5. So there's your week 3 overview. Now let's get into the games individually. Arizona minus 3.5 at Buffalo. That total is 47. Can Carson's Cardinals keep up the pace?
Against who? Buffalo?
Buffalo.
I mean, Buffalo got torched last week
by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You would think so. I would be a little bit concerned about Arizona's offensive line is not as good as the Jets' offensive line, which allowed Matt Forte to kind of go off last week. I don't know that Arizona will be able to do that quite to the degree that New York was
so
able to do
weapons,
last week.
Though.
But they do have a lot
so
of weapons,
many
and
weapons.
Carson Palmer is a surgeon, especially if you give him time. So I see an Arizona win, but I don't know that they're going to torch him like New York did last week.
Now, of course, I'll take a more in-depth look at Daily Fantasy a little later on in the show, but is David Johnson, he's the most expensive running back this week. Are you interested in him at 7,700?
Has he been much of anything this season?
He
so
certainly
far?
Hasn't been bad. I mean, in two games, like I said, he's most expensive this week. In two games, he doesn't get a whole lot of carries, but what he lacks in carries, he makes up for in those receptions.
Mm-hmm.
Three receptions on 5 targets for 98 yards last week. He did fail to get in the end zone, but as far as DraftKings points, 17.3 against the Bucks and 23.2 against New England. He's averaging right around 20. He's 12 carries against the Bucks.
I feel like
against
you can
New
get
England.
That production and a lot cheaper down the line. He needs to start having some monster games to justify the most expensive running back, I think.
I agree as well. And the way that I'm putting together my teams, I'm not looking really far down the list because I like a lot of the mid-tier wide receivers, as understandably, and I think the whole most of the game is going to like him this week. We're talking people like Stephon Diggs, Travis Benjamin, Marvin Jones Jr. I'll get into that a little later. But right below David Johnson, D'Angelo Williams, C.J. Anderson. Love them both. We'll get into it later. Mm-hmm. I like Arizona to cover that 3.5, though, and that probably goes over 47. A couple of injury concerns for Buffalo. Sammy Watkins. If Sammy Watkins does not play, look out for Buffalo. I mean, LeSean McCoy.
That's he's everything they got, basically, on offense.
Yeah. I agree.
I like Tyrod Taylor and what he's done. He shocked a lot of people mm-hmm. last year, and you know he can't throw it 40 times a game and be successful.
Not with Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin as your number one and two.
Yeah,
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, he needs Sammy Watkins. That's a little bit concerning for me if Sammy Watkins isn't going to play.
Something to keep an eye on
as we move forward. Definitely by Sunday, you guys who have him in fantasy, you might want to take a look at that and make sure if he's going to play or not.
Baltimore -1.5 at Jacksonville. That total is 47. Is that a little high to you, Baltimore and Jacksonville? 47, that's nearing the 50 mark.
Yeah, it's probably a little high for my personal taste, unless Mike Wallace catches 17 more touchdowns, because he's been doing that, apparently.
He checks it at 5,000 over on DraftKings. How about, is that too much credit for the 0-2 Jags, or is it just unlucky matchups for the Jags? 1.5, Baltimore?
See, man,
I like Baltimore in this match. Matchup.
Jacksonville was one of my sneaky teams this year I was saying, you know, they might just sneak into this whole the postseason and kind of surprise some people and all that. But, you know, the first week against Green Bay, they lose, and you say, well, it's Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then last week they lost to San Diego.
Yep.
And then... You want to justify the Green Bay loss, but then you look at what Green Bay's been doing, and I got some statistics for you on Green Bay. They're not a very good football team right now.
No,
so
they're
you
not.
Can't really go, oh, well, it's Green Bay. No, Jacksonville's a legit 0-2, and they've lost to two kind of mediocre-ish, you know, teams. So
is Flacco a viable fantasy look this week? And you've got Pitta as well, 11 targets, I believe, last week.
Yeah, Pitta is definitely a guy people should be looking at. If you can pick him up or trade for him, I think we're going to talk a little bit about that mm-hmm. later on. But he's definitely a viable option for sure.
Flacco, 6,100. I do like him as a slightly kind of a sneaky contrarian option.
Well,
the thing about
Flacco is that he throws the ball to Mike Wallace.
Who
catches 75 touchdowns
exactly.
a week. So
you pair up Flacco with Mike Wallace and Dennis Pitta. Maybe you get 2-3 touchdowns. If you get 3 touchdowns in that, you're looking good. If you can pair up the rest of your lineup, Cleveland at Miami and Miami -10. I love Ryan Tannehill this week, and I know a lot of people are saying that the game output or the game flow is going to dictate that they're going to run the football. How are they going to run the football, Bryce? Are they going to use injured Jay Ajayi? Are they going to use newly signed Isaiah
Super Tannehill,
Pede?
Baby. Super Tannehill.
I love Tannehill.
I've always liked Ryan Tannehill.
I agree.
I was all over him last year,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't have quite the year that he's having this year. And I'm like, man, I was a year early on his development into like a full-fledged passer. But I've always liked him. They're probably not going to run with Tannehill. That's maybe
a little sarcasm. Maybe it's 20 yards.
Maybe 20 yards. They're going to have a running back, and Cleveland is bad.
Cleveland's a bad football team. They're going to be on the field a ton.
I feel like we just beat up Cleveland every show, and it's probably because we do, but they're so bad.
You've got no Corey Coleman for Cleveland. You're starting a quarterback who, from all reports that I've read and heard, the people that I've talked to, Cody Kessler looks terrible.
He's not ready. So, yeah.
Miami stacks 8 in the box, stops Isaiah Crowell. They don't let Kessler have time to throw. If you ask me how this game is going to flow, it's going to be Cleveland, punt, Miami, touchdown or field goal. Cleveland, punt, / interception or fumble, Miami, touchdown or field goal. I think Miami could win this game by about 20.
I'm calling now Cody Kessler throws 5 touchdown passes.
5 touchdown passes. 5 touchdown passes. You heard it here, folks. You heard it here first and probably only.
You know, that's the kind of thing that happens in the NFL. We all bag on a guy. He looks like garbage all week long. He's never looked good. Nobody knows who his name is. And then he comes out and throws 5 touchdowns.
If he's going to do it, I think Gary Barnage is definitely in the equation. But I, 4,000.
Man, I would say fantasy players stay away from Cleveland offensive players entirely.
Yeah, I agree. I do like Tannehill. I like Jarvis Landry. Actually, I really like Jarvis Landry at 6,600.
I've always liked that kid.
I have as well. Devontae Parker at 4,900. Miami's defense as well. I know the game's got a 42.5 point total, but Miami might score 40 of them. Cleveland's going to really be hard.
Cleveland's going to be hard. Miami might score 40, and they still not get the over.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Be careful with that.
Denver at Cincinnati. Cincinnati opens up as a 3.5 favorite at home. Is this a test for Denver's defense? You got A.J. Dalton. You got Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard, A.J. Green. Denver stopped high-powered offenses in the past.
They have. That's a tough matchup for them. Aqib Talib on AJ Green. That's mm-hmm. going to be a great matchup. I really, really like Aqib Talib. The player, not the person. He's kind of a right. D-bag in life. But that's going to be a real tough matchup. Also, Batman lost his Robin because there's no DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
So Von Miller is going to have to kind of do it by himself a little bit. A little bit of a test for him, for sure.
We'll take a look. 41 is the total on that, and that's one of the lowest on the board as well. So I'm thinking a Cincinnati fade. I'm actually thinking of both fade. Maybe some C.J. Anderson, but you can't convince me on Trevor Siemian, and you can't get me on Demaryius Thomas as well. I don't even really want to play Denver's defense at 3,500, but... C.J. Anderson, 7,300. I expect a lot of usage from him, and I think the game flow is going to dictate. You're going to see the ball in C.J.'s hands quite a bit in that. Moving on, Minnesota at Carolina. Carolina opens up as a 7-point favorite at home with a 43-point total. So, we talked about it a little earlier. Does no AP, Adrian Peterson, out for a while, it looks like.
Yes.
Is it the start of the Stephon Diggs era?
Yeah, that again. We're
maybe
gonna,
not the official start because he had quality play.
He's had some quality play, of course.
As the
face of Minnesota's offense,
yes.
Potentially, yeah. That's a good point. We're gonna get into a little bit later on players to target for trades in your weekly fantasy.
I can't see anybody give up Stephon Diggs at this point.
A lot of stupid people play weekly fantasy.
That's true.
Like a lot of the really smart fantasy players move to daily fantasy.
That's true.
You got a lot of stupid people playing weekly fantasy like me. So. You might be able to convince somebody to give up Stephon Diggs.
Diggs had 11 targets last week. He cashed in for 9 catches, 182 yards, a touchdown.
He's talented. I watched a little All-22 on him, man. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a fluke of a game. There was no reason why that happened. No, he was beating coverage. He was beating double coverage at times. He was getting open against man, getting open against zone. He's a fantastic football player.
I agree entirely. However, Diggs can't do it all, and Carolina's a favorite in this. How good is Carolina? I know they lost to Denver in week one.
They're pretty dang good, and you give Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin 2 or 3 more weeks of playing together and healthy and everything to blend a little more. Kelvin Benjamin might vault himself to the top of the receiver list or near the top of the receiver list. That size and the speed that he has, he reminds me a little bit of Calvin Johnson, except more physical.
Yes.
Calvin Johnson, as big as he was, still used a lot of speed, and that was more his game. Where Kelvin Benjamin,
he's not afraid to get hit, duck his shoulders.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Kelvin Benjamin in his game.
I am as well, and he looks fantastic coming back from injury. He's
adequately
priced at 7,200 over on DraftKings. Is Cam Newton? He's the most expensive quarterback on the board, if I'm correct. Yeah, 7,800. Is that too much to pay for him, or do you kind of get what you pay?
Cam Newton, it depends on him, man. A lot of weeks you do get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of weeks. Sometimes you don't. This week,
It's close.
It's close.
I mean, it's really close. Minnesota has a good defense.
Yeah, the two lowest quarterback rating games of the season have both come against Minnesota's defense.
Yep.
So I would be just a little bit leery of Carolina offensive players this week outside of Kelvin Benjamin.
I like Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen's really good, but man,
yeah,
they Minnesota shuts down tight ends pretty good, though.
Yeah,
that's a good defense over there.
It's gonna be a good game. Like I said, Carolina opens up as a 7-point favorite at home. Oakland at Tennessee. Tennessee a 2-point favorite with a 47-point total. Anybody you like outside of Derek Carr for Oakland?
Amari Cooper
still.
Yeah, he had a big game in week one.
He had a decent game in week. Well, he did. He did have a big
he
game
had a big
in week
game
one.
In week one.
What would you tell? What would you say if I told you he is 500 more than Kelvin Benjamin? Because he is. He's 7,700.
Stupid to buy him.
I agree.
Stupid.
He had 9 targets last week, 71 yards. He still has not found the end zone yet.
Yeah, he hadn't gotten the end zone, and he did that a lot at Alabama, so I'm expecting him to pick that up.
I just don't think you can convince me. When you look at Benjamin's targets and just usage and production in general, 9 targets last week, 12 the week before. You can't get me on Amari Cooper this week.
Not for the price, for daily fantasy.
Yes.
If you have him in weekly fantasy, I would start him. But yeah, Kelvin Benjamin at 500 cheaper than Amari Cooper, you should take Benjamin.
How about a Marcus Mariota punt? It's a 2-point spread in favor of Tennessee. That total's almost at 50. I'm going back and forth on this. There's going to be points scored by Tennessee. You just look at that spread. They probably have a projected team total of about 24, 25. Somebody's going to score those points. Why not Mariota? Maybe Mariota to Delaney Walker?
I'm waiting for him to put it together.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that guy to put it together. The talent is very clearly there. But I'm getting worried at this point about a little bit of an RG3 factor. He comes from a spread system. That's all he's ever done. And when they do spread type things, he's pretty good. But if any time they have to get away from that, it just goes downhill for him really fast. I'm a little concerned about Marcus Mariota. He could have a big game, though.
I think if you're going to play Mariota, and he is dirt cheap, by the way, at 5,900. If you're looking for a cheap guy to throw in as your quarterback, you could do a lot worse than Mariota, like Andy Dalton or Tyrod Taylor. They're going up against the 32nd ranked pass defense in Oakland. And I think Delanie Walker could have a big game. I also think DeMarco Murray is poised for a big game as well. And his usage, if you just look at his usage, 6,300 is what he's priced at. He had 12 carries last week for 89 yards. Mm-hmm. That is 7.4 a carry.
Yes, yes.
And then you look at his receiving stats. Mm-hmm. 7 targets each game, 5 catches in week 1, 7 last week, 56 yards. He's broke 20 fantasy points both weeks. Mm-hmm. 6,300, very adequate pricing for DeMarco Murray this
week.
I think he gets into the end zone.
As a Cowboys fan, I think he'll have a soft place. I'll have a soft place in my heart for him forever.
I think you should.
Yeah,
he got a raw deal in Philadelphia last year.
Absolutely.
Poor DeMarco Murray. But Tennessee wins that game? Maybe? They beat Detroit last week. I'm not real sure how.
I don't know.
I'm not convinced in Tennessee.
I can't put anything on Tennessee right now. They're going to have to show me a little more.
Moving on, Washington at the Giants. That is an 0-2 Redskins against the 2-0 Giants. And New York, don't look now, but they might have one of the best defenses
yes,
in football.
Yes, Dak Prescott's game against them looks better after seeing what they did to Drew Brees.
They completely shut Drew Brees down,
which
means you have to imagine they're going to shut Kirk Cousins down. Giants are open up as a 4.5 favorite in that. Is the Giants' defense going to be tested? I know DeSean Jackson, he's got some sort of injury concern, but I mm-hmm. expect him to play.
He'll probably play. As much as any other division in the league, and maybe it's just because I follow them, man, you don't know what to expect in the NFC East.
No.
Like, Washington could win this game. They could win it going away. You just don't know with what goes on in the NFC East. I expect New York to win, but I wouldn't surprise me to see Washington give them a real game.
Any Odell Beckham love? Any?
I don't like Odell Beckham. I don't like Odell Beckham.
You want a contrarian play, though, on somebody that could really break out at any time. It's just too much. It's just too expensive at 9,100.
Yeah, I can't.
He's finally has the Eli Manning finally has other targets mm-hmm. that are more than capable.
Look, I'm going to tell you something, and I know the people that are listening, they're going to say he's a Cowboys fan, he's hating on Odell Beckham Jr. I don't do that. If you're in the division that my team plays in,
you're pretty unbiased.
If you're good, I'll give you all the credit. Odell Beckham made an incredible catch on Sunday Night Football and turned into an overnight superstar, and he's done almost nothing to deserve it. There are some times he's had some decent games or some, you know, he's done some things sometimes, but he's not. I've watched all 22 on this guy. He doesn't get open. He doesn't split double teams. If they bracket him, you can take him out of the game. And there are times when what I call a team and a half, where it's not really a double team, but it's kind of one. Mm-hmm. He can't even beat those a lot of times. So I'm not sold on Odell Beckham Jr., and I certainly wouldn't pay for him. What did you say, 9,100?
Yeah, 9,100.
No,
sir. 9,100.
No.
He is the, I believe, the...
Take Sterling Shepard for the 5,000 or whatever he is, and you're going to get more points.
Yeah, he's the second most expensive wide receiver this week, under only Antonio Brown, who that's another. Another one I can't get to. These are going to be the fastest rundowns that we're ever going to do. I promise you. L.A. Rams at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's a 5-point favorite. The total is 42. Maybe a Winston Humphreys punt. I think his name's Adam Humphreys. I really don't even know.
The wide receiver
for Tampa Bay.
He's pretty good, man.
He is.
I watch a little bit of him. I haven't had a lot of time to go back and watch all that, but he's pretty good.
Zero exposure to L.A. I want no part of L.A. I think Tampa Bay rolls in that game. And
can you? I've asked some people this, and maybe you can answer this question for me. I've asked numerous people. Mm-hmm. What?
You're gonna ask the question. I think you're gonna ask. I know you are.
I can't even think of his name now.
Todd Gurley?
No, the damn receiver, the little short guy for. Oh my! Why can't I think of his name?
For the Rams, Kenny Britt?
No, the short one, the fast one, the one that got all the money.
Oh, Tavon Austin.
Tavon Austin. What has he ever done to deserve $42 million?
Oh,
ever, ever.
I didn't know that. It kind of makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
They gave him a $42 million extension.
Wow!
What is it?
Hey, what is it? CM Punk made 500,000 or however much he made in that.
No, he's done something. He built a name for himself so that he could trade off of that name. Tavon Austin's never done anything.
Makes $42 million.
$42 million.
That's all you need to know about that game. Tampa Bay, in my opinion, rolls.
Garbage.
Moving on. San Francisco at Seattle. Seattle, a 10-point favorite. They didn't even score 10 points last week, as Bryce so eloquently pointed out. It's the lowest total on the slate. Seattle really seems banged up, and I want no part of it.
What do you think about the theory that Marshawn Lynch is the heart of that offense and Cam Chancellor is the heart of the defense, and you take either one of those two players off of it and they just
crumble.
They just crumble like
just
that.
Crumble.
That kind of creeped in a little bit this week when you look at juxtaposed last year, the few weeks without mm-hmm. Cameron, and then this year without Marshawn Lynch. So
just one
wonder about that
yeah,
a little bit.
One real quick take on this game. I think it could go one of two ways. I think Seattle is either going to really dispose of San Francisco and get back on the right track,
yep.
even though they are banged up, or I think San Francisco might be in for a dog of the week play. Blaine Gabbert doesn't look good. I'm not going to convince you that he does. However, he's a formidable quarterbacker. He has been so far. If he can find any sort of rhythm in this game and Seattle struggles at all, do not be surprised if San Francisco's in it in the fourth quarter.
I just go with history on that because past behavior is the best indicator of future behavior. Mm-hmm. I would say Seattle getting back on track is more likely than San Francisco.
I think so as well, which leads me to kind of be interested in Russell Wilson at 7,100, just because if it's going to happen, it's probably going to be on the arm of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
However, Doug Baldwin, his guy, looking like he may or may not play this week. Something to keep an eye on, but yeah, I kind of think Seattle gets back on the right track, but they don't look good, and I'm not going to convince you that they do. New York Jets at the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City's a 3-point favorite with a 42 total. Is this another big day for Matt Forte?
Ooh, against Kansas City's defense?
30 carries.
Yeah, Gordon had a good day against them.
Mm-hmm.
Had a pretty good day.
Yeah, two touchdowns,
week
I believe.
They were both kind of short, so,
yeah.
I mean, it's not... I could see Forte having a pretty good day.
Especially if those receivers are as banged up as they look. With,
yes.
I mean, you've got Eric Decker questionable, Brandon Marshall leaning on doubtful at the
right,
moment, and
right.
then Quincy Adua, semi-healthy.
Right. I think Forte, if he gets it done this week, it'll be more catching passes than running the ball, but I could see Forte having another good day.
I could as well, especially 7,000 on DraftKings. Is Jamal Charles, is he finally coming back, or do we have to wait one more week?
I don't know on that. I really hate speculating on injuries like that because we just don't know. We're not there. if he does come back, I personally would probably wait a week.
Yeah, I don't want any part of him. Spencer Ware, Charkey West, no part. I do kind of want Jeremy Maclin. He had 15 targets last week.
He's the only target.
Exactly.
They got Kelsey, but yeah. He hadn't really done much this year yet either. So.
Travis Wilson, but yeah, Maclin, 6 catches, 15 targets. He hasn't broken out yet, but if Kansas City's going to... No, you can't like that.
No.
I don't know if that's dropping the football or if that's Alex Smith just not... throwing good passes or what, but I like targets, 15 of them.
Yeah.
That's big. You want to talk about targets? I skipped over this because it's such a... let's not mix words. It's a shit game. L.A. and Tampa Bay. Mike Evans had 18 targets.
Yeah, yeah. Of course he did. How many did he catch, though?
I think it was six.
It's
impressive.
It's garbage.
Pittsburgh -3.5 at Philadelphia. Pittsburgh, in my opinion, probably a top three team in the NFL.
I think they're the best team in the NFL.
They very well might be.
I think they're the best team in the NFL.
I think their competition is probably Arizona and... That's it. At this point, that's it. And Arizona's 1-1.
New York, the Giants.
No.
No?
No, you're not going to convince me of that.
Okay.
New York's probably a 9-7 football team. Pittsburgh looks...
You're giving the Giants 9-7
nine
right
and
now?
Maybe 10-6.
Ooh,
maybe
man.
10-6.
Okay, I write it down, Giants fans.
We'll
and
see.
let them hear it at the end of the season. Write it down.
If you want to talk about a team that collapses better than any other team...
The Cowboys?
What? Oh, man. That's your team.
Man, they've had some bad Decembers. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, as far as in this game goes, this is your last time to use D'Angelo Williams, or maybe not your last time, but until Le'Veon Bell gets hurt again.
Yeah.
I'm all over him at 7,500.
Oh, yeah, D'Angelo Williams is fantastic.
7,500.
This is the game I want to watch the most this weekend other than the Cowboys game. Carson Wentz has looked really good.
Wentz a lot.
He hasn't played a defense yet.
Nope.
It's been pretty much 7-on-7 against air.
Yeah,
like practice is pretty much what he's done so far.
Chicago's really
Chicago
bad.
And Cleveland, that's the two defenses he's torched. So I want to watch this game. I want to see Wentz against a real defense. I also want to see what Dak Prescott does against that same Chicago defense, both in prime time, 1 week from each other. I think the comparison between those two guys really, really starts this weekend. And
Sunday Night Football, baby, with Carrie Underwood annoying the... I hate it.
Babe Laufenberg, I believe, is the one who made this comment. If they threw them all the 2016 draftees back in the draft and redrafted them today, it would probably go Wentz Prescott.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to see 10 years of just brutal, awesome football games between Dallas and Philly with those two quarterbacks.
You have any interest in Antonio Brown at 9,600? He's the most expensive receiver on the board. He had 11 targets last week. He did absolutely nothing. Let me just be brutally clear. If you spend almost $10,000 on a wide receiver on DraftKings and you get 7.9 points, your day is finished.
Yeah.
I spent $5,200 on a running back and got 4.1. Thank you, Danny Woodhead, for the ACL. I'm sorry. Look, I had him in literally everything. Literally, literally every lineup that I made.
That's putting and all your eggs in one basket, man.
If every single egg was in the basket, and you're not going to convince me it was a bad idea, but his ACL... gone.
Yeah, that happens.
And so was my week.
Yeah, I don't know about Antonio Brown at that price. You also might want to steer clear of Eli Rogers this week with Marcus Wheaton coming back.
I agree with that. But D'Angelo Williams, 7,500. I think he's probably the best running back on the board this week.
Philly's run defense is pretty stout most of the time, although they gave up some yards.
Man, they are running this guy
for last week
into the ground. And D'Angelo Williams is no spring chicken, but he can run, and he's found the fountain of youth. He's been able to hang on to the football so far. 32 carries last week, 26 the week before. I expect another 30-carry game. And the receiving targets kind of lowered last week, but he got into the end zone.
What do you think about Jesse James?
He's cheap. He's cheap, and I think Roethlisberger should like him more than he does. I want to see more from Roethlisberger to James and longer.
A little more.
He's had 7 targets against Washington, 5 against Cincinnati.
So you're talking about him maybe as in some type of a keeper league or some type of a more long-term future league. You might want to look at him.
I'll definitely buy that because I think Jesse James has a future as a tight end in Pittsburgh. I think they just need to find that rhythm, and when they do, he's tall. What is he, like 6'7"?
At least. I think he's 7'12".
7'12". And we're just going to move on all of that. 7'12". San Diego at Indianapolis. Indy's a 2.5 favorite, and you're not going to be able to convince me why. Indy is 0-2. They look awful. The total is 51. It's the second biggest total on the slate. And in my opinion, all the Melvin Gordon and Travis Benjamin, all of it, as much as you can get.
Almost only because you're going to expect you're going to expect Indianapolis to punt a lot. And so you're just going to get a lot of offensive plays from San Diego, so their biggest weapons are going to get a lot of usage.
I mean, you look at Melvin Gordon.
I'm not going to lie to you, dude, and we may disagree on this. If I'm doing what you're doing, I'm all over Tyrell Williams, and I'm dumping Travis Benjamin.
That's what my friend Brown said.
All over Tyrell Williams. He's one of my sleepers right now.
I'm definitely in agreement on that. I think Tyrell Williams comes in at 4,300. You look at Travis Benjamin at 5,200.
I'm telling you, Tyrell Williams, I would bet almost anything Tyrell Williams is going to catch more passes than Travis Benjamin next week or on Sunday.
You think that's going to be because of just the defensive shifts? And
it's because Travis Benjamin's not an outside receiver.
Yeah.
He's not an outside receiver. They can line him up out there. Mm-hmm. Dallas lines Cole Beasley up out there. He don't catch any passes from there. He's a decoy, basically. So
that's an interesting take on that. When you look at from a strictly percentage standpoint and ownership standpoint, which is very key in daily fantasy, Travis Benjamin's going to be about 20 to 25% owned.
Yeah.
Tyra Williams is going to be about 6 to 8% owned.
That's just I got a call from a buddy who said, hey, man, check out this Tyrell Williams guy. I popped in the tape. I looked at him a little bit, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can definitely see why they would go to him more. He's more physical. He gets off the line better. He's got a bigger catch radius. He fights for the ball, but he's better in basically every way, but he's not as fast as Travis Benjamin.
That's true. Don't look now, but Melvin Gordon, 14 rushes in week one, 24 in week two after that Danny Woodhead injury. 102 yards against Jacksonville, and he's got a slightly better rush
defense.
Like
Melvin Gordon now that Woodhead. Down.
Yeah, I love Gordon. I liked him in college a lot, as a matter of fact, and he struggled to find the end zone last year. He did.
Struggled? However, he didn't?
He didn't. There's no struggle involved. He struggled to find the end zone like Case Keenum struggled to complete a pass in recent weeks.
God, 58. Why are you just bagging on Case Keenum? He's a nice guy.
Case Keenum, I'm sure the Cleveland Browns are nice people as well. The land... You're going to hear from me. How about this? He struggled to find the end zone like Golden Tate struggled to catch passes. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to bag on Golden Tate some more.
Always. I love it. Melvin Gordon, 5,800. Really like him.
Yeah, that's a good price point for him.
And San Diego, I think San Diego wins that football game. And you're not, you're just, until I see otherwise from Andrew Luck and company. Now, Luck threw for 400 yards in week one, but this is, that was against, let's see, who was that against? Detroit. He threw for nearly 400, 385 yards. Then he threw for 200 against Denver. I think the Colts are in trouble. Yeah. However, there's one guy that I do like, and that's Philip Dorsett coming in at 4,400 for Indianapolis.
Never been a big fan of his. He could have a big game, but there's nothing about his game that stands out to me.
I don't really want to go out of my way to roster him, but if he fits, then he's probably going to find his way into a couple of my rosters. However, I like San Diego in that game. They're probably going to be my dog of the week. At 2.5, that was a bad dog.
That was
Chicago bad at Dallas. Bad dog. Chicago at Dallas. Dallas is a nearly 8-point favorite. I think it probably gets up there by game time. Sunday night football and 44.5 total. Is this a test for Dallas? Is this a tipping point for Dallas?
I think it's a good situation for Dallas that they get this. I'm sorry, the Bears quit last week. I have no respect for this Bears team. They quit last week,
mm-hmm.
And when you quit, I got nothing for you. If Dallas loses this game, I think they're in big trouble because they have no business losing this game to a team that quit and is as injured as they are. So and then they get San Francisco next week, which should be another win. Mm-hmm. You could be sitting at 3-1 at the first quarter of the season. You're going into your bye pretty quick, and Romo's coming back potentially, and all that. So that could line up real well for them. They lose this game, it looks really, really bad. So we'll see what happens. They shuffled up their lineup this week. Tyrone Crawford's getting kicked out the end. Cedric Thornton's going to start at the 3-tech, and Justin Durant's been planted in at the middle linebacker. So we'll see what that does for the defense.
Any interest in Cole Beasley at 3,200?
Hell
I know,
yes.
I know you do.
Hell
I agree.
Yes.
Hell yes.
He's on pace for 104 catches this year.
Yeah. And so, once he finds that end zone, he's going to be even hungrier for it. I know that they got Dez Bryant involved. You can't sell me on Dez at 8,400, but I really, really like Cole Beasley at 3,200.
Let me tell you something, man. I hate the idea that anybody, any NFL coach would respond to pressure from fans about something.
Mm-hmm.
But people have been saying, you know, the fans, the what I would call the underground media, the blogs and stuff regarding the Cowboys for years now. They have to get Dez Bryant open. He can't just get open by himself all the time. They got to motion him. They got to put him into a bunch formation stuff. And they started doing that last week, and it was a big game for him. He didn't get in the end zone. We did have over 100 yards. If they're going to keep doing that, if they're going to keep putting him in that situation where they're motioning him into bunches and creating mismatches for him, he could have monster game.
He definitely has the talent to put up a monster game. Something feels like a Cole Beasley touchdown this week.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with
you. Sunday night football. You got the Sunday night
can
hammer.
Can you feel like 5 or 6 Cole Beasley touchdowns?
I'm on board with that because I think I'm going to get him at about 6% ownership. I don't think anybody's going to be on this guy this week, and I think that is a mistake. Is there any value at a min price Brian Hoyer 5,000 whatsoever?
Against Dallas's defense, sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
I mean, I really agree. You look at when he slotted in for Houston last year, Cleveland the year before that.
Yeah.
I've been on this guy before, min priced. He's put up 2 or 3 touchdowns.
I could absolutely see a situation where he throws 2 or 3 touchdowns, especially if Alshon Jeffrey plays. Because the Cowboys don't defend tall receivers worth a crap. They never have.
And what happened last year when Hoyer was thrown into the system after Ryan Mallett pulled a Ryan – he's not even in the NFL anymore as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know. But when he slotted in for Ryan Mallett in Houston, he found D-Hops over and over and over again.
Yes.
And Alshon Jeffrey is very much like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, similar player, yeah.
And you want somebody nobody's going to be on? No, you have to scroll all the way to the lower end of the U.S. maybe even in Mexico on DraftKings to even find Brian Hoyer. He's the second listed quarterback. I mean, you really have to search for Brian Hoyer, and I don't think anybody's going to be on him at all. And I think he's got a potential for, I mean, a couple of touchdowns.
A little Hail Mary situation there with him.
They're going to be throwing.
Yeah,
they're going to be throwing. Jeremy Langford is not good.
He hadn't been bad. He wasn't bad last week against Philly.
He's not bad. I mean, he scored. Well, he got in the end zone.
It's Dallas' defense.
Yeah, but we're looking at a guy who gets hit and goes down. I mean, he has no yards after the carry.
Okay.
He doesn't find holes well, and Chicago's going to be throwing.
When they're I don't know if you've watched Dallas's games this year, but their run defense has not been.
When Shane Vereen
I'm more concerned about Jeremy Langford having a big game and just keeping the ball out of Dallas's offensive hands and making it close and winning at the end than I am of Brian Hoyer kind of having one of those kind of renaissance games and throwing three touchdowns. I'm more concerned about that.
That's Sunday Night Football with the Cowboys at 7.5. Vegas thinks they're going to win. If they do, got a real good shot at 3-1.
Yes.
You got to like where you're at as a Cowboys
absolutely.
Fan. Atlanta at New Orleans. Now, this one clocks in at the highest total of the week, and it's probably going to climb. 53.5 right now. The Saints are 3-point favorites. Bryce, are the points going to be there?
We said this last week with New York and New Orleans.
I know, but
and it was a garbage game.
Apparently, I don't know if that was because of New Orleans. It might have been because of New York.
I mean, you could be right. It could have just been New York's defense just being that stifling. As a Cowboy fan, I don't want to think about that. That's not fun to think about. But that could have been what it was. Atlanta's scored a lot of points this year. I love me some Julio Jones. I love Devontae Freeman. I love Tevin Coleman. There's a lot of offense in this game. I could see it.
I could, too. This is an Atlanta team. Uh-oh. This is an Atlanta team who allowed how many points against Tampa Bay in week one? Oh, my God.
43.
Oh, my God. You are not. I mean, are you kidding me right now?
What?
First of all, it's 10-3, Pats. Second of all, guess how the touchdown happened.
Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, much, much worse. Significantly worse.
Jacoby Brissett ran it in.
27 yards. 27 yards. He's got 40 on the ground, and Pats are up 10-0.
You see, that's what Belichick does. I wonder if he just told Brissett, okay, look, dude, if you don't see something that you're 100% confident in, just run.
Just run.
Just take off running and see what happens.
He's 4-for-6 with 43 yards. He's 2 carries, 40 yards, and a touchdown.
MVP.
MVP.
Call it now.
Goat. Greatest of all time.
Goat. Yeah, he's the goat.
Oh, goodness me. I just happened to see that. Are the points going to be there? I think they kind of are. I think Atlanta's got a good shot.
It's a good chance of that.
Yeah, I think their defense is not very good, and Breeze is going to look to get back on track this week.
You don't need to think that their defense isn't very good. There's evidence of that.
Yeah,
there's video proof of their evidence.
We don't need to speculate.
Defense not being very good.
So who do you look at for Atlanta? Because New Orleans' defense isn't very good either. Julio Jones?
I like Julio Jones.
I like Jacob Tammy. If I'm playing Thursday, Monday games,
man,
he's
having a little bit of a renaissance too. But back, you know, he was a really good option for Peyton. When Peyton was right there at the end of his career, they used him a lot, and he was a good option. And he's kind of having a little bit of a renaissance right now.
Kentucky maybe, Wildcat, if I'm not mistaken, as well.
Maybe not for this game. I mean, okay, for this game, sure. But if you're a weekly fantasy guy, or if you're in a dynasty league and if you can acquire Tevin Coleman, I think this guy is going to be somebody, and it's definitely a situation where if Freeman ever has to go down, I don't know that he gets his job back.
Yeah, I like Tevin Coleman.
I
liked him in Indiana. I like him now. And speaking of year-long fantasy talk, let's get to it. I actually do. I like New Orleans in that game, and I think they go over 53.5. But year-long fantasy talk, who are we looking at in the waiver wire other than Tevin Coleman?
Tyrell Williams.
I
told you that already.
Yep.
Tyrell Williams.
Yep.
That's somebody that you should. If you need receiver help, he's going to be a good option.
I think you can look towards Philip Dorsett, just seeing as Dante Moncrief's going to be out for the
usage,
foreseeable future.
The target percentage, he's going to get a lot.
I think you're probably reaching. I really do. Fozzie Whitaker's another one that I just feel it's a trap.
Okay, I like Fozzie Whitaker. I don't like Fozzie Whitaker this week.
Yeah.
So when Jonathan Stewart comes back, which is it going to be next week? I keep hearing that.
It might be.
So then you kind of pick him up for nothing. So maybe not Fozzie Whitaker this week.
Doesn't Stewart have a history of lingering injury problems?
He just has an injury history.
He just has a history.
That's just something he deals with a lot. You might be able. This is, again, the weekly fantasy. You deal with people who are impulsive and make kind of poor decisions a lot of times. You might be able to pry Tom Brady from somebody who picked him up and is mad because they've gotten nothing out of him for the first few weeks and then get that. That's possible. If you're in a dynasty league or if you're in a weekly league and your quarterback situation is garbage, complete garbage, you might pick up Tony Romo now and just hold on to him on the back of your roster if your roster's, you know, if you have room for him, and hold on to him because he might be back. I wrote down a couple more people there. She's recording. She has my phone, so I can't see it.
Let's see. We got. We got Tyrell Williams, Marvin Jones. I just can't see him.
Yeah, but just in case, you know.
Yeah, you might as well look.
I made Stephon the case Diggs. Earlier, Stephon Diggs. You might have to trade for him, but I'm just again, it's the same situation with Tom Brady. You may just be able to find a stupid owner who'll trade you, you know, pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, Sam Bradford. If you need a quarterback, tight end, Dennis Pitta. Nobody's going to have Dennis Pitta. And man, I like Adam Humphries. I like Adam Humphries a lot.
I do too.
He had 8 targets against Arizona. He caught 6 passes for 67 yards. It's not great. He's mid-priced on DraftKings, so I'm probably going to have him in a couple of lineups. But if you need a guy, as far as wide receivers go, and you're Tyrell Williams, you're Marvin Jones Jr., first of all, somebody drafted Marvin Jones Jr. I'm not the only one that's been hollering about Marvin Jones. I promise you Marvin Jones is not on your waiver wire.
No, that was now. More of a trade situation.
Then Stephon Diggs is so far gone, you can't even see the dust at this point. But
just, I'm telling you, man, I've done it. That's why I did it. Because somebody who kind of has a little bit of a decent game somewhere in the first 3 or 4, especially this is the thing with Stephon Diggs. If Stephon Diggs goes out next week and has 3 catches for 50 yards, you're going to be able to trade for him after Sunday.
You think so?
Yeah, because fantasy owners, like I said, all the smart fantasy players, they play daily. So if you're in the weekly and there's a good chance that you'll be able to, if he has a mediocre game, you pick him up and then he goes off for the rest of the season. I've done that, and B, I've been on the receiving end of that where I was like, oh, he's been crap, you know, back in my early fantasy days where somebody had a bad couple of games, I traded him off and they exploded and that guy won the league with my guy. I've been on the other end of that, so I'm telling you,
that's not a good place to be on either. Moving on to daily now, it's DraftKings.com, the millionaire maker, making somebody a millionaire each and every week. Big shout out to my man Al Smizzle from RotoGrinders.com. He's got a couple of daily podcasts as well. He won the Millionaire Maker last week. Briefly talked about him, gave him some credit on Monday. Stephon Diggs was a big reason. He told me, he said that he changed his flex from Eddie Lacy to Stephon Diggs and just watched himself climb.
Yep.
Watched himself rise. Posted the picture of current winnings after on Twitter after it was all said and done. 1.1 million. And
that's
massive.
Awesome.
You can win this. This is possible. Bryce, I'm not going to say I haven't been confident up until now. I really like this week. I'm scoring 200 points in at least one lineup.
Okay.
And I know I play volume, but I'm scoring two. This is the week that I crack 200. I don't know how far up the 200 I'm going to get, but I'm going to score 200 this week. Quarterbacks, as far as DraftKings.com, I would mention FanDuel, but we're in Texas, so thank you to our legislation there. Cam Newton, 7,800. I think he's a little too much this week. Maybe if you stack him, if you pair him with Kelvin Benjamin, Greg Olsen. But Minnesota's got a defense, and I think Cam Newton's a little...
I'm staying
little
away from Carolina offensive players this week.
Yep. Eli Manning, 7,000. That's another one I'm kind of on the fence about. I think you're going to see probably more percentage, more ownership than you should. And Washington, 46.5. I mean, it's not a bad game. I'm not saying that. But he's got a lot of targets to throw to, and any chance of stacking or pairing him up, you're going to be rolling dice. Mm-hmm. You're going to be rolling dice. Derek Carr, I can kind of get behind at 6,900. I don't love him. If you get him, pair him with Amari Cooper. Matthew Stafford, I'm probably going to be off of this week at 6,800. Phillip Rivers, 6,700. Bryce, talk to me. Is there a reason to play Phillip Rivers in the high? Yes, there's a reason to play Phillip Rivers in the highest total of the
I mean, I talked about it a little bit earlier. He has a tendency to elevate the players around him. I already told you I like Tyrell Williams. I mean, I could see that. He could have a big game, absolutely. Man, he's another one of those guys that he's kind of cocky. He's kind of a D-bag on the field. And you kind of don't like him, but, man, you got to respect him. And he just I kind of like Phillip Rivers. And any week, you ask me any week, yeah, he could throw 4 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and he could. And anytime you're throwing 4 touchdowns on 24 passes without Keenan Allen and with a banged up Antonio Gates, you got to respect. You got to respect Phillip Rivers, especially at 6,700. And these are all the guys. I'm not even going to mention some of these guys: Blake Bortles, Kirk Cousins, Ryan. Ryan Tannehill.
Mediocre guys.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even mentioning those guys. I like Ryan Tannehill at 6,200. I like Ryan Tannehill a lot at 6,200.
Yeah.
He's a very good way to get cheap exposure to that Miami game. He threw the ball 45 times against New England. I think the game flow probably dictated that. He almost threw for 400 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. He finished at 27. If you give me Ryan Tannehill for 27 right now, you tell me Ryan Tannehill is going to give me 27 fantasy points on DraftKings, he's in every single one of my lineups.
Yeah, yeah. Who are they playing?
Miami has Cleveland.
I would be a little concerned about them jumping out early and running all day. I'd be a little concerned about that.
They don't have a running back.
It doesn't matter, dude. You have to understand, the NFL coaches are the most risk-adverse group of people in the world. And when they get a 14-point lead in the first quarter, they start running the ball.
That's
so I would be a little concerned. Now, you don't know what's going to happen, but that would be my concern.
Something tells me ownership percentages are going to be slightly inflated on Tannehill as well, because I'm not going to be the only one that sees that. Joe Flacco is going to go under the radar at 6,100.
Yeah.
I really like Joe Flacco. He's thrown for almost 300 yards in both games.
And 800 touchdown passes to Mike Wallace every week.
Every single week. That's good for 742 fantasy points. It's going to win the Millionaire Maker. Joe Flacco at 6,100 is a little bit low for me, and I like that matchup against Jacksonville. Jameis Winston, if you're looking for a cheap quarterback punt, you could do worse than Jameis Winston.
He had a big week one.
Yeah, he did, and they're playing the Rams.
Yeah. The Rams shut down that vaunted Seattle offense last week.
Oh, and such a vaunted Seattle offense it is. I really think something's up with Seattle.
I do too.
I like Jameis Winston at 6,000. He's going to be contrarian as well.
A little contrarian there. Yeah.
Marcus Mariota's another one at 5,900 against Oakland.
I'm swinging for the fences, man. I don't know about that.
No, you want swinging for the fences. I'll get there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5,900. I'm a little leery of that wide receiver situation. You want contrarian? If you want to pay up to be contrarian, Aaron Rodgers at 7,700. Nobody's going to have.
Aaron Rodgers, man.
I know.
He has a streak of 14 games.
I know.
Of not being having a 100 quarterback rating. The next longest streak in the NFL right now is 6 games, and I can't remember who it is, but he's garbage. So whoever it is,
somebody's you're telling me that Aaron Rodgers is garbage, because he's going to break out of that. Why not this week?
14 straight games. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm saying Aaron Rodgers is garbage, because that guy's been really good for a long time. But something's not right in Green Bay right now. No. Aaron Rodgers is not playing well. I'd be staying away from him until he turns it around.
Probably going to stay away from Andrew Luck, too. But again, if you want to pay up to be contrarian, 7,600, you're going to get about 5, 6% ownership. There's just nobody that you can pair him with. I mean, maybe Philip Dorsett. I don't trust T.Y. Hilton, and Moncrief's obviously hurt. Carson Wentz, 5,500. You want to pair him up with somebody? Jordan Matthews.
Against Pittsburgh's defense?
Yeah, it's contrarian. I'm telling you. And Brian Hoyer, 5,000.
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying don't go contrarian. Pass.
Just don't even go there. Running backs. Now we're saving at a wide receiver to pay up at a running back, and the top two on my list. I mean, David Johnson checks in at the most expensive running back. Talked about him briefly, 7,700. I don't think that I just don't think you could pay for that. D'Angelo Williams, 7,500. C.J. Anderson, 7,300. Right in my wheelhouse, and I'm going to have a lot of exposure to both.
Yeah, this C.J. Anderson's.
He's good at football.
He's good at football, and he's one of those guys, like, there's nothing special about this guy.
Yep.
He's not that fast, he's not that big, he's not that powerful, whatever, but somehow he just keeps racking up yards and points. So
Matt Forte's another one at 7,000 that I'm going to have. Mid-range, Melvin Gordon, 5,800. You could do a lot worse. I've heard a lot of people going to be on Charles Sims. I'm not. 4,900.
Charles Sims is one of the guys that I forgot about whenever we were talking about the guys you could acquire.
You could pick up.
I really, really like Charles Sims. Watch a little bit of him. It's a little bit like the Warwick Dunn, Mike Allstott, hammer and lightning situations they had going on there back in Tampa Bay a long time ago. He's the bigger guy. He's the hammer a little bit. And they've been giving him carries, and he catches the ball in the backfield a little bit, too. I like him.
My problem with Charles Sims is he's had he's averaging 2.3 a carry. 2.3 carry against Atlanta, 2.7 against Arizona. He's going to have higher usage this week. There's no doubt. And against the Rams, who Christine Michael, I think he got 80, 90 yards, something like that. There's better out there. Theo Riddick, 4,900. Is he going to get the lion's share of the work in Detroit in the backfield now that Amir Abdullah's out?
You know what's going to happen. They're going to sign Joik Bell this week, and he's going to get the majority of the carries.
Good old Joik Bell.
My two predictions this week, Cody Kessler throws 5 touchdown passes. Joik Bell gets more carries than Theo Riddick in Detroit this week.
Joik Bell. And on the opposite side, as far as contrarian plays, DeMarco Murray, 6,300. I don't think there are too many people are going to be on.
That's a good one.
God,
I
don't want to say this next one. Frank Gore, 5,000. That's just probably too cheap and the highest total of the game. Look, Indy's going to score some points.
Frank Gore still plays in the NFL?
He still plays. He's gotten over 15 fantasy points in both games now, I believe. Yeah, 11.8 against Detroit. He found no touchdowns,
it's
but he
weird.
Found the end zone against Denver for 15.
It's so weird to me.
He's real
Wait,
bad.
Against Denver?
Yeah, he found the end zone.
Wait, who is Frank Gore playing for?
Reception. Indy.
They played Denver? I don't even remember them playing Denver.
Yeah.
My God. Oh, they did play Denver. I remember now. It's coming to me.
How about that?
Woo! Okay, it's all coming back now.
I just
don't. It's weird for Indy to be football purgatory.
Yeah.
They've been so good for so long, it is weird that when it's an Indy game, I'm like, I don't even want to watch because their offense is just so garbage. It's not fun to watch.
Isaiah Crowell, 4,700. He's probably going to have some usage, but I think that might be some fool's gold. Chris Thompson, you're going to think I'm crazy. At some point in the season, Chris Thompson for Washington is going to have a 2-touchdown game, and Kirk Cousins somewhat likes this guy. He did get into the end zone against Pittsburgh for 11.9. He had two. He doesn't run the ball. He's not a very He's not a fan of running the football, but he catches passes. 3 catches on 4 targets for 57 yards last week against Dallas.
Yeah, he had a bad week against Dallas, except for the last play of the game, the long catch and run right there at the end where they're playing the prevent defense. So that's I would be a little leery of that.
Is.
But you're right. At
it
some
is.
Point, he probably will catch a couple of touchdown passes.
On to the wide receivers, if you're going to pay up to be contrarian, I've got a laundry list for you. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Alshon Jeffrey, Randall Cobb, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm just not interested in any of these guys right now. My guys in the wheelhouse, if I'm paying up, it's Kelvin Benjamin. I don't mind Mike Evans at 7,000. I'm going to pass on Decker. I like Landry at 6,600. My guys are Marvin Jones Jr. at 6,200. You're going to hear that a lot this year. I'm going back and forth on Jeremy Maclin. 6,000 is a really good price for him, but 6 catches on 15 targets is not enough.
No, it's not. That's garbage percentage. He needs to pick that up.
Travis Benjamin, 5,200. The entire game's going to be on him. Stephon Diggs, even more is going to be on him. I'm going to be all over Stephon Diggs.
All over Stephon Diggs.
Every lineup that I have with Joe Flacco, which might be a couple, I'm going to have a handful of lineups with Joe Flacco. I'm going to have Mike Wallace at 5,000.
It's a good play.
He's going to score 800 touchdowns.
He scores at least 1,000 touchdowns every game. So.
It just goes up and up. I love it. Cole Beasley, 3,200 is another good way to get exposure to that Sunday night game. And, if Sammy Watkins doesn't play, you could do a lot worse than Marquise Goodwin at mid-value 3,000.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game last week.
Yeah.
I could see that.
If you're looking to be contrarian in the mid-range, Allen Hurns at 5,200, he had 10 targets.
I like Allen Hurns,
like Allen
especially
Hurns.
If Allen Robinson's not going to play.
And something's wrong with Allen Robinson.
Yeah, I like
other
Allen
than
Hurns
the illness. Maybe he had some of that Bluebell ice cream. Victor Cruz.
Dang,
40,
man.
I know. I'm
throwing shade
today. Victor Cruz, 4,700. He looked good.
Hold on. I've got to go back to this Bluebell thing. I can't let you get away with it.
So you had yourself some Bluebell ice cream last night?
I did. I'm telling you, I saw that report that Bluebell, you know, was giving people listeria, and I just walked right to the freezer.
Pound time.
Just with a big, you know, the big spoon, and just started eating right out of the carton, because you're not going to keep me away from my Bluebell. That's just how it is.
Just not going
to
happen. You might not be able to keep me away from Victor Cruz this weekend. 4,700. Again, I don't know where it cut off, but I like Victor Cruz, and he looks like he is back. Tyrell Williams. Whatever the hell his name is, 4,300 for San Diego.
Like him.
I do. And there's reason to, and we're not just pulling this out of thin air. He had 6 targets last week. He had 5 in week 1. The targets are going to go up. He got into the end zone last week, 61 yards and a touchdown, 4,300. You could do a lot worse.
With Woodhead and Keenan Allen both down and Gage injured, it's going to go to somebody. And I don't think Travis Benjamin's a guy. He's a guy that gets open at times, but he's not a guy that's going to be open a lot because of the type of receiver he is. You're more likely to get more out of Tyrell Williams.
Here's my thing with Travis Benjamin. And again, this was against Jacksonville. He did have 115 yards. He got into the end zone twice. Something that you're saying, and I'm coming over to your side. Yes, 5,200 is a good price. Yes, 32.4 fantasy points is insane. He had 6 targets.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
He's all 6 passes.
He's going to have weeks where he's going to catch them all, and he's going to have weeks where one or two of those are going to be a long pass, and he's faster than everybody else, so he's going to score. But there's going to be weeks where it's 6 catches for 58 yards, and he helped the offense. He got some first downs, but he didn't score touchdowns. He doesn't help your fantasy team.
Exactly. If he doesn't score touchdowns there,
it's a wash. Exactly.
Exactly. Like I said, you could do worse than Tyrell Williams at 4,300. I'm going to figure out his name at some point. It's probably not going to be this week. Tyrell Williams is what it says on DraftKings. Kenny Britt, 3,900. Now I know. I understand. He plays for the Rams. I've been dogging on him all week. They're playing Tampa Bay. I just got something thrown at me. 6 catches on 10 targets against the Seahawks for 94 yards.
We're not doing Rams players.
6
No
catches.
Rams, no Browns. These are the rules. I don't make the rules. I just follow them, Daniel.
10
No Rams, no Browns. Get out of here.
For 94 yards, they're going to score a touchdown at some point. They can't just score touchdowns.
Stop.
Kenny Britt.
You need to stop.
Don't pair him with Case Keenum, whatever
oh,
you
my
do.
God.
But Do you want to talk about somebody nobody's going to have? Kenny Britt, 3,900.
I already forgot the name of that receiver that got the $42 million. That's how irrelevant he is.
Tavon Austin.
God, yeah, that's that guy's irrelevant. Good God.
Adam Humphries, 3,000 for Tampa Bay.
Dude, all day. All day.
All
for 3,000, that's wonderful pricing.
He says all day and Kenny Britt at 3,900. Mm-hmm. Tight ends are interesting this week. I like Greg Olsen at 5,800. I think there's...
You can always like Greg
Olsen. You can
Olsen.
Always like Greg
Be
Olsen.
A little bit concerned going against that defense, but...
Yeah. Do you like any Jordan Reed? He's the most expensive tight end at 6,500. He hasn't done enough for me yet to justify that price tag. Not this season.
Well, his first week was pretty good, wasn't it?
It wasn't bad. He hasn't, as far as I know, yeah, he hasn't got into the end zone.
I wish that we sometimes I wish that we did like a almost like an NFL matchup style show, because the battle last week between Byron Jones and Jordan Reed was the game within the game. It was what. It was everything to that Washington-Dallas game. Byron Jones did an incredible job against Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed did a really good job getting open at times against Byron Jones. I think Jordan Reed's a fantastic player. He just came up against one of the few people in the NFL that can match up with him one-on-one.
He is a great player, and we talked about that. Dallas isn't good against tight ends. Maybe that's, like you said.
Byron Jones is starting to shift that a little bit.
He only had 7 targets, caught 5 passes for 70 yards. I'm just passing on him. 6,500. I'm spending elsewhere.
Yeah, you could.
Delanie Walker's questionable. I don't mind him at 5,000. Again, something tells me that Marcus Mariota is going to have a big game this week. And if he does, it's going to be probably Delanie Walker, if not Tajae Sharpe. But Delanie Walker, 6 catches on 6 targets for 83 and a touchdown. You could do a lot worse.
Yeah, that's pretty good production out of your tight end.
I'm going to pass on Travis Kelce. Again, you're going to
hear this
a lot.
He hasn't done anything yet.
Exactly. You're going to hear a lot this year. Julius Thomas at 4,600 is too cheap. 7 targets last week against San Diego for 71 yards. This is a guy that's going to catch 70 yards every game.
Yeah, more than likely.
Whether or not he gets in the end zone...
That's another story, yep. But yeah, he's gonna get his yards every week for sure.
Jason Witten, 4,300. Are they kind of phasing him out? He had 71 yards last game.
They're not phasing him out, but
no,
I think that they are phasing Jeff Swaim in a little bit. Not to lose what Witten is doing, but they, if you watch the coach's film from last week, they definitely use Jason Witten as a ploy to move linebackers a little bit to get windows to throw the ball to Dez Bryant. Mm-hmm. So they were trying to, they were infusing Dez Bryant at the expense of Jason Witten to some degree. I don't know how long that continues. If it's something they saw or just the way the game flow went or something they planned all along, I'd be a little bit leery, but it's Jason Witten. He's always going to catch passes.
4 targets last week makes me
a little
real
rough, little
hesitant.
Rough. But, I mean, he's had games like that and then, yep. had 14 catches, so, you know, whatever.
Gary Barnage, 4,000. Look, Cody Kessler's not a good quarterback.
No.
He's going to have to throw the ball to somebody. They're going to be losing. They don't have wide receivers at this point. Barnage has proven that he can catch three touchdowns.
Maybe just on pure pure
just
usage.
Just a Hail
Mary.
Okay,
fine.
Your guy, Jesse James, and I've heard a lot about this guy. At 3,500, you could do worse. I think Dennis Pitta is a better buy at 3,400.
Yeah, I would go Pitta in that. Like, I think James is more likely to score a touchdown, but Pitta is more likely to catch 10 passes.
Yeah,
so
and he had 12 targets last game.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph, he's questionable right now, but 3,100. Bradford likes him. Bradford likes him. He had 8 targets last game with 3 catches.
Yeah,
not bad.
He runs a lot of the routes that Bradford's good at throwing, so you might actually see a little uptick for Kyle Rudolph. The problem being that. Like Witten in Dallas, they're going to use him as a decoy. To get Stephon Diggs the ball a little more. So,
yeah. Just 3 more. One's highly, highly contrarian. Clive Walford, 2,800 for Oakland.
Eh. Okay.
Yeah, he's
whatever.
A guy. He, you know. And we talked about him week one. Jack Doyle, 2,500. He looks like he might be the guy in Indianapolis moving forward.
I don't know what happened to Dwayne
Allen. I don't either.
He was like a borderline Pro Bowler, and now he's getting sat on the bench by Jack Doyle.
Yep.
Like, what happened? I don't know.
Yep.
But, yeah, Jack Doyle's a good option.
I'll tell you who else is a very, very sneaky option. This is my last tight end, and you have to scroll a long way to find him, even further than Jack Doyle. Zach Ertz is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt Zach Ertz is hurt. Brent Celek is not the guy. He did not produce. He didn't even get the opportunity to produce last Monday night. I'll tell you who did. Trey Burton. 7 targets, 5 catches, 49 yards and a touchdown, and he is absolutely min price at 2,500.
Carson Wentz likes Trey Burton. There's no question about that. You can watch it. You can tell. I watch a little bit of 22 on that, just a bit. He runs good routes. He gets open. I think that's a good option.
It's a tough matchup against Pittsburgh, but if I'm playing Carson Wentz, I'm playing Trey Burton.
I just wouldn't. You're gambling big time if you're going to put that rookie on your fantasy team up against that defense. Yeah. I think you're gambling big time if you do that.
Yeah. Burton's not a bad one-off, though, if you need a cheap option at tight end. Defenses, I've only got four on my list, and New York leads it off at 3,300. Look, Seattle, I'm not trusting them until I get reason to otherwise. 4,100, way too much for that defense. Carolina at 38 up top. They're playing Minnesota without Adrian Peterson.
Meh. I don't know about that.
Exactly. Arizona, maybe some Arizona against Buffalo. They had four interceptions last
Arizona's game. Good defense.
Arizona's a good defense. They're a good football team as well. But, yeah, my four defenses, New York at 3,300. Miami's probably where I'm going to land, folks. They have an abysmal matchup against Cleveland.
That's just a good situation for them.
Exactly. They're not a great defense. They don't do a whole lot of things extremely well. But you're telling me Cody Kessler can't throw a pick six?
He can throw five touchdowns.
He can to Miami, and I expect him to. Baltimore, 2,500 as well. San Diego, look, I don't think Indianapolis is very good, and San Diego is the cheapest defense on the board, probably for a reason, but 2,300 against whatever's wrong in Indianapolis.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good option.
Exactly. And that wraps up the Daily Fantasy segment. Moving on, and we got to get out of here real soon. And look, I talk a lot. I do apologize. However, it's more information and more content for you. My potential plays this weekend, Arizona -4.5. The more I talk about it, the more I really like that against Buffalo. The Giants are -4.5 favorites, and I like them as well. Miami -10. Are they going to cover that? In the first half?
Probably.
I think it's likely, but
it's the NFL.
I think Miami's one of my strongest plays. Baltimore -1 against Jacksonville is another one I like a lot. Tampa Bay -5.5 against L.A. That's a thing. The Jets were and still might be my dog of the week against Kansas City. I expect another big day from Matt Forte. And Pittsburgh's going to beat Philadelphia. Are they going to do it by more than 3.5? We'll see. It's on the road. Atlanta, New Orleans over 53.5. And Those are the plays, basically. I'm going to pick three for the parlay, and then we're going to get out of here. I would say, and again, this is for informational and educational purposes.
Yes, we do not condone sports betting.
Of course not. Of course not. However, if we were in Vegas, my parlay or my three plays, which I was 0-3 last week, so let's not just skip over that like it didn't happen. What a shit week in the NFL last week.
You had a bad week last week.
In every aspect. Danny Wood had killed my fantasy. My plays didn't go well. My dog of the week, it died. It got hit by a car.
New York, New Orleans, you were like, I like them at 65 points.
0-0 in the second quarter, and I am significantly upset.
Well done, Daniels.
No kidding.
The prognosticator.
I'll tell you what, Miami -10. Lock it in. Miami -10. Lock it in.
Come on, man. What you got? Sit there and stare at the screen.
I really want to take the Giants, but I really don't want to take the Giants.
Giants kind of screwed you a little bit last week.
A little bit.
Just stay away from them, maybe.
I'm gonna give some credit to Baltimore. Mike Wallace. Flacco gets it done, -1.5. So that's Miami -10, Baltimore -1.5, and I'm going to stay on the Carson Palmer train. It's a 47 total, but I like Arizona giving 3.5 right now. So Arizona, Baltimore, Miami, three of the early games. That's my parlay. Dog of the week. No sound effects. I'm getting no help.
I was just laughing at your dog, man.
San Diego +2.5.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the obvious.
San Diego
week,
+2.5.
Which means Indianapolis is winning that game.
Yeah, exactly, by 10.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, so that's going to wrap things up. And the third edition of the two-point conversion in the books. Of course, it's sponsored by Footballogy.com. It's a study of all things football. It'll show fun now, what I like and what I don't like. Bryce, I love the UFC. I love mixed martial arts.
Yeah,
everything about it. It really is, and I've only been watching for a very short time. Cyborg, if you don't know much about her, and I know you know a little bit about her.
I know she is.
Cyborg's got the main event this weekend on Fight Night, I think 95, taking on Landsberg. I love Cyborg fighting in the UFC. I think she's a very exciting fighter. She hits harder than any female. Some guys she hits harder than. The problem is she walks around at 165. That's a very high weight. Now, you can say what you will about steroids and the performance enhancing earlier in her career in Invicta and other organizations outside of UFC before the testing went in play. Her body weight is a 140, 145 fighter. What I don't like, I love Cyborg. I'm looking forward to this fight. What I don't like is weight cutting. And she went through one of the most brutal weight cuts that have ever happened in the female division last time. She had to cut, I think, 20 pounds for her fight. She's got to get down to 145, I believe, maybe 140, and she can't be a pound over that.
Right.
She walks around at 165. That was what she said she was on Monday. She's got to get down to 140 by tomorrow. I just hate that. I hate it. She's a massive 1250 favorite, minus 1250. So for every $1,250 you imaginary wager, you only get 100 of that back.
Wow.
She's going to destroy this opponent. She's going to knock out in the first round.
If she makes weight.
If she makes weight.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of weight cutting as well, just in general.
It's dangerous. It's a dangerous.
Yeah.
It's
And I feel like the few fighters that just fight at their walk-around weight just seem like they're better. They're more. They have more energy and all that stuff. I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of weight cutting. For things I like, strawberry slushy from Sonic.
You bet, yeah.
I just found out about these things today. They're incredible. I can't believe how good that is. Big fan of that. Things I don't like right now, studies. There's a new study out there about smoking, talking about how it changes your DNA. So often on these studies, if you go and you look.
Go to www.imright.com.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, if you go look at the studies, you'll find that they're sponsored by somebody who has a very clear bias against this. So they want the study to say something, and they pay the scientists to say that it's going to say something. Or you can go look at it and see that they're, from a scientific standpoint, they're not a scientific study. They take out information to make it fit a specific agenda. I really hate studies. I really hate all this crap you see on Facebook with the studies. It's just garbage.
Also, what I like shitty Netflix shows, and I've got one right now. It's real bad. It's like a 1.5 star.
In
its second season. First of all, Black Mirror comes out the second season in a couple of weeks. That's a great Netflix show. It's not even a Netflix show. It's a UK show. Fantastic. Kind of a Twilight Zone meets Technological X-Files. Great show. Highly recommend that. Don't recommend Between. However, I'm stuck in the second season of it.
Between?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's real bad.
It's
about a virus that kills anybody age 22 or over in this town of Pretty Lake. And the reason it's called Between is because they fence off the area. And it's a whole government conspiracy show. And it's got really, really, really bad acting. Really
Stop
just
watching
stereotype.
It.
I'm in the second season, man. What do I do?
Just stop watching.
But so.
Good God, there's better things to spend your time on than watching shows you don't even like. Get us out of here, man, before I throw you out of studio.
What was that question that you had for me from the listener?
Well, actually, I think we kind of answered it in the middle of it, but a buddy of mine wanted to know. He has Watkins. He usually starts Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
He's going up against Patrick Peterson this week. He's a little concerned about that matchup.
Yeah,
he was asking Alan Hearns or Tyrell Williams as the...
Tyrell Williams.
Okay.
Tyrell Williams. It's a bad matchup for Sammy Watkins. He's probably not going to play. So.
I mean, A, he might be injured, and B, it's Patrick Peterson. Yeah. I'm not starting anybody going against him.
Absolutely. So we got to get out of here. Went a little long. We're going to be back on Tuesday. Record Monday. It is the 2-point conversion, the third edition. Bryce and Daniels. And it's all brought to you by Footbology.com. Can't say enough about these guys. Podcast articles, stats, in-depth research. Just go check them out. Footbology.
Yeah, fantastic website.
Footbology.com. And big shout out to you guys. Thank you so much. This is our third episode. We didn't know what to expect,
mm-hmm.
and we still don't moving forward. But
the response has been really good.
It's been really good. People seem to enjoy it. So thank you so much. Definitely tell your friends and come back on Tuesday. We have a new slogan as well.
We do have a new slogan.
Yeah. It's the 2-point conversion with Bryce and Daniels, where we always go for two. Good luck in your fantasy games, of course, unless you're playing me. We'll see you.